Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
.1057 FM, the Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Brewers pick up a win yesterday over the Cincinnati Reds. After losing the first two games of the series. But fear not, they are 6-7, which under this season's playoff structure would put them in the playoffs should the season ended today, which I suppose is still always a possibility, although things seem a little more uplifting and positive around the league than they did maybe a week ago today. Not for everybody. We'll get into that in a moment. But Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Do we think that the offense is out of this whatever slump they were in? A six-run, sixth inning yesterday wasn't just good to see because it was good to see it. It was good to see it because I saw the Brewers score six runs in an inning, Adam, where they did not need a home run to do so.
Yeah, it was like stacking good at-bat after good at-bat. And that's how Christian Yelich was saying, that's how they're going to get out of this. It's not going to be like one game where a couple of guys hit homers. It's going to be stuff like we saw yesterday. So I think they were encouraged by that. I mean, it's going to take some time, though, to say that this offense is clicking and functioning. I mean, the idea in not re-signing Moustakas and Grandal to those four-year deals and going instead with this array of players and platoons everywhere, it was kind of like the thought was you could get innings like this because you were going to have good matchups sort of throughout the course of an inning. And I think they anticipated more innings like that yesterday and way fewer strikeouts than they've had so far. And, you know, it was definitely a promising sign, but it's going to take, you know, it's going to take a week, a couple of weeks, whatever it is, of that sort of performance to make them feel better about this offense that they put together.
You know, some of the things that they've had to adjust here since Ryan Braun's injury and then Lorenzo Cain opting out, you look in center field where Avi Garcia is in line to get most of the starts out there. Is there anything else they can do or would do? I read some like trade deadline speculation, which I still, it shocks me that there is even trades that are going to happen this year. You watch my defense a little bit, I kind of get apprehensive there, but then you've got Mark Mathias, who's basically like if Zach Davies was an outfielder who's learning the position for his first time. I don't know. I feel like I thought Gamel would get more starts at center. I don't like Avi Garcia out there.
Well, you're not going to get the Lorenzo Cain, you know, play from Avi Garcia. You're going to get a great arm, which he's already been able to show on a couple of occasions, that probably a better arm than Lorenzo Cain. But you're not going to get the range, you know, balls that Lorenzo Cain turns into outs and has this way of making plays look easy that you come into the clubhouse in a normal year and guys are like, no, do not let him fool you. That was not easy. There's just going to be more balls are going to find the warning track, the wall, more hits are going to drop than would happen with Lorenzo Cain. And that's not insignificant. So I was surprised when that's the move that they made. I just assumed it was going to be Ben Gamel because he's a guy who runs around more. And you think of he's just more of a what we all think of as a center fielder. The idea was that because Garcia is going to be in there every day, they preferred to kind of put him in one spot, and they thought center field was the spot for him. So I guess, let's see if that continues. Ben Gamel is also cooled. So that's one of the reasons, maybe why they did it is they saw a little bit of moving around with that spot in the order, and they put Mathias in there when they want the right-handed bat. And I give that guy credit. I mean, he never played the outfield before this season. And the Hernan Perez experience, where another guy who had no outfield experience, and they tried him out there, and they actually really liked the way he played. And I think they saw some Perez in Mathias. So I don't know. I give that guy so much credit for doing something that's got to be really uncomfortable, a little scary to go out there in a major league game, whether or not there's fans in the stands, to play a position you've never played before and hold his own out there and do well. So it's a little bit strange and unorthodox, but they love this team loves doing things like that.
I bring up Avi Garcia before, not to pick on him, as we talked to Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Struck out 3 times yesterday. Okay. The team struck out 9 times. And if I have this right, they have struck out at least 9 times in every game they've played. There were 16 strikeouts maybe in Friday night's game. Is this a byproduct of what they're trying to do at the plate? Is this the way that baseball is just happening to work here in 2020? Because to strike out at least 9 times in every game, it's just, I get strikeouts are a part of it, but not with this frequency.
Well, I don't know. That's the way the game's been going for a long time, where strikeouts are just way more, a way bigger part of the game. And, part of that is maybe the hitters, but look, part of it is, and I think we just gloss over this. Part of this is that the stuff that they're seeing is unlike the stuff that we saw. Like, we saw stuff like this as kids, but it was the very best pitchers in the entire sport. Now, every dude out of the bullpen is coming in and featuring stuff that when you and I were kids, Bart, would be the best stuff we saw in a week. So it is different. I don't think that should be understated, that this is it's different. And the other thing that's happening is, they got ready in 3 weeks. And the things that we've seen are that the hitters are just – the offense is suppressed everywhere. And there's always you can find exceptions to that, anywhere you look. But overall, offensive numbers are down. Pitching injuries are up. And I think both things probably are related to the fact that they did a 6-week spring training in 3 weeks. And we talked with Chris Hook about this yesterday. Because often you hear during spring training the complaint that spring training is too long. And for a lot of the hitters, it does feel like it's too long. They're ready to roll after a month or so. But I think what we're seeing here is that you need that time. Like, everybody may need that time to get ready. The pitchers to stay healthy and the hitters just to have a bulk 50 at-bats or so of live pitching under their belt before they go into regular season, because I the strikeouts tell me that the pitchers are still ahead of the hitters, even as we get into this thing.
Brewers have the Twins tonight. They'll start a 3-game set there. And then the Cubs, they'll take on Chicago. Once again, Bart Winkler here, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. You make the joke earlier about Mathias, but I think he has provided at least something that this team needed. We were talking earlier last week, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, where it looked like, and a lot of the guys that we've gotten to know as fans are not on the team anymore, and even with Cain opting out and Thames being elsewhere and Aguilar having moved on, it seemed like a lot of these guys that really brought fun to the clubhouse were kind of missing. and we watch these Cubs games where the, you know, the dugout's going crazy, and then maybe the Brewers aren't up to that point. I hear Craig Counsell in some of these pregame interviews, and I know as reporters, you're unable to be in there to really get a sense of the clubhouse, but it seemed like things were wearing on him a little bit, and it seemed like there were mental mistakes being made with this team. I think that, you know, maybe a guy like Mathias just showing how fun this game could be was needed for them, because it was getting to be at the point where I was thinking, at least, that this team just, it just seems like it's hard for them to play a game during everything that's going on.
Well, the word you're searching for but don't want to use, it sounds like it's boring. This team's a little more boring than other teams they've had in recent years.
Well, this team is. It seems boring, but also it seems like they're facing challenges that other teams didn't have to face, and maybe the strain of everything that they have to do, and are we going to play today, and that whole Cardinals series, it seems like the team might be a little more boring, but also they have to go through more mental like hurdles than any other squad too. So I don't know if they're going to have the opportunity to show how fun they can be.
Well, I think it comes down, and I think we've seen this in stretches all throughout the years, that when you don't hit, all of these other things come way more to the forefront. When you don't hit, you look lethargic. When you don't hit, the mistakes that probably every team is making and that the Brewers have made when they're going good in the field, you know, Keston Hira bobbling balls, whatever the defensive thing is, stands out way more because every run is so, you know, it kills you because you're not scoring them yourself. I think even on the pitching side, when you're not hitting, the pitching looks worse. Corbin Burns, you know, missing with one fastball to Jose Abreu ruins a game, even though Corbin Burns threw the hell out of the ball that night. And you think Burns is no good, but it's all tied back to the fact that your team's not hitting. I think the biggest cure for when a team looks like it's sagging is to start swinging the bat. I think back to, you know, having this conversation with Ned Yost, where we would ask him about, you know, what's the morale and questions like that, all the way back to Davey Lopes. When a team doesn't hit, they look really bad. So a six-run inning yesterday gets everybody going. The energy is going to be better. And look, I remember even in that opening series, Bart, where I went to the game at Wrigley Field on opening day, and that Cubs dugout, it was like a high school game. It was, you know, cheering every pitch, chants.
They were really.
What'd you say?
It was kind of like it's intimidating, I think, when you're across and the other team is like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And you're like, yay.
And look, it was obvious that the Cubs, at least, and I think they've continued to do this, and partly they're playing really well. They're trying to like generate some of that energy that you're missing because you don't have the buzz in the stadium. The crowd noise is great. It helps. I think most guys like it in a way because it takes some of the edge off how weird this is, but it's still nothing compared to having fans in the stands. So the Cubs, for example, were trying to create that. And I asked Craig Counsell, you know, whether he thought they did a good job of it, and he didn't want to like praise the Cubs, but his point was that day, you know, basically he said, we didn't have anything, you know, we didn't have much to cheer about. That was the day Kyle Hendricks shoved and pitched a shutout against him. So, teams are having to generate their own. I don't know how good a job the Brewers are doing of that because they just, more often than not, they've had games where they're just not hitting. And I think, again, it comes back to that. And if they can get the bats going a little bit, look, Kane's out, Braun's out. That's just life. Yelich coming around is obviously huge, but they need to get some other guys going too. I mean, Hira's offensive numbers, when you stand back and look at them, have not been good. They've been underwhelming compared to what he is capable of. Omar Narvaez is going to be a way better hitter. Justin Smoke, who knows, but he's been their worst hitter. And it was really promising to see some things yesterday from him. And he's a guy, Bart, yesterday after the game, who talked about like trying to replace some of that energy that's missing. So they are all trying to figure this out together. But I promise you, I don't have the answer for how to make this happen. But if they start hitting a little bit, all of this stuff is going to look better.
You mentioned Corbin Burns. Do we have, and again, maybe it doesn't matter like it mattered in 1984, but do we have a role for him, or is he going to be this back end, you know, piggyback kind of guy? Because he gives up a home run. It kind of ruins things, but he came in a huge spot the other day. Bases loaded, gets out of it. He looked really good. And I wonder what they're going to do with him.
I think they're going to do exactly what they're doing until they need him in the starting rotation again. And people can, I know a lot of people are not going to like that because they believe that a pitcher needs to have a quote unquote role. I think Chris Hook would just disagree with you. And they feel like Corbin Burns is plenty capable of doing this bouncing back and forth. And Chris Hook said yesterday morning that he's had a conversation with Burns. He thinks he can be really good in this tandem role. And I think Burns has shown over the last couple of years that he can be successful moving back and forth at times. In fact, he's probably been more successful in relief than he has so far as a starting pitcher for whatever reason. So I think that this is what they're going to do. I mean, we've got the rotation now for this Twin Series, and Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta are not in it. So they may need one of them to make a start here by the end of the week, but right now they are kind of going with this tandem. And the idea is that you start with, say, the Burns dates, you start with Brett Anderson, a lefty who's a finesse guy, and you come back with Burns, who's a righty and has this insane slider and a fastball that acts like other fastballs don't because of the spin. It's just a totally different look. And you're trying to make the other team somewhat uncomfortable. And again, try to get some lineup, some matchups within the game that are in your favor because the way the opponents set their lineup for a lefty starter. So it is, it's a different way of doing it. Sort of, you have seven starters, basically a couple of that are tandeming, later in the game. And that's just the way that's the way they're doing it right now. I will say, like, I will believe Corbin Burns is not going to be a major league starter at some point when his career is over and he hasn't been a starter. I still think the stuff is too good. And I think what we're watching is what happens all over baseball with really, really good pitchers, a guy learning how to do it. And it happens on the job as much happens in the minor leagues, and you get a guy ready. You got to pitch in the big leagues. You got to do it in order to do it. And I really think that that's what we're seeing. I know there's plenty of people who are down on Burns because when these starts happen, they sometimes don't go well. The stuff's too good. And I still think he's going to be a really good starter in the big leagues.
At what point do you think the Cardinals season gets pulled? I mean, they played five games. They played 55 games in 47 days.
No, they're not. Unless everything changes for everyone else, the Cardinals are not playing 60 games. Can they play enough games that it's okay? Can they get to enough games where you can sort of say everything else is, you know, off this year?
Can we just blast them to the moon?
That's just one of them.
Blast them to the moon? You want to blast them?
Send them to Korea. Bring in the NC Dinos.
Honestly, Bart, you know, I feel for them because, like, everything I've heard, you know, this casino story, someone's got to get to the bottom of that. Someone's got to get to the bottom of what exactly happened there, because I think a lot of blame is being put on the Cardinals, and it might be all completely unwarranted, because everything I've heard is that, especially starting in Milwaukee, I mean, they have tried to do everything right in order to stop this thing from spreading. And yesterday there's another positive test. And it's got to be maddening, and it's got to make you feel so frustrated if you're, you know, one of their guys, that they feel like they're doing everything right, and yet this stupid virus keeps spreading. So I don't know. I don't know. The lesson is, I guess, keep it from getting in the front door, because once it does, it is a problem. And if the other clubs can keep it from getting in their front door, you saw how serious the Indians were with Zach Plesac. He went out in Chicago, which is, whatever, young, I guess just chalk it up to youth. They sent him home and said, goodbye. We'll see you in however many days. You have to stop it from getting in the front door. So I don't know what's going to happen there, Bart. It's hard. Can 29 teams play and one doesn't? That doesn't seem tenable.
Well, I don't,
I don't know.
I don't think the Cardinals should forfeit games because it's, you know, it, this is a virus that we have no control over. But then I also don't think like what, you know, this, these are the Cardinals. So what's going to happen? They're going to play 20 less games and then somehow have an advantage from that and make the playoffs because they have a better winning percentage over Milwaukee by 3 points.
That would be 20 games would be too much for me to do that. But what is the number? I have no idea. I guess the thing I was saying is I hope people have a little bit of empathy for what they're going through and not just say like, oh, it's their fault because they, because they've seen a tweet that says they went to a casino with nothing to back that up. So I don't know. I wish we could know more about the full story of what exactly, how that got in their front door. And I, even if we do know how it got in the door, I just wish there was less blame and more kind of empathy for how maddening and challenging this must be for them. And the fact that, you know, Mike Shildt said yesterday, some guys have had to go to the ER. Like they are having, you know, it's no joke. It's not just like they all tested positive and nobody's having any symptoms. This is serious for them. And I don't know. I just think about the frustration level must be off the charts for Mike Shildt and John Mozeliak and all those guys.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Always appreciate your time and we'll chat again next week.
All right, Bart. See ya.
Adam McKelvey, he is on with us normally, and there he goes. Normally Mondays at 9, getting him a little earlier today. We talk to him every week, and then he is on the postgame show and Bill's show and the big show, so you can always catch Adam McKelvey on social media at Adam McKelvey as well. A reminder, everywhere you go, Wisconsin is all in. Staying 6 feet apart and keeping gathering small, these are ways that we can help defeat this stupid virus. Yeah, I'm with them. Be a good neighbor. Show us how you're all in using the hashtag #WeAreAllIn. Learn more at WeAreAllInWI.com. We'll talk some Packers with Ryan Wood coming up, PackersNews.com, who will also be joining us throughout the season again. I want to play a little snippet from the Dan Patrick show. Dan Patrick being, I guess, tipped off to some of the going-ons behind the scene in college football.
Here's the information I got almost an hour ago. The Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So once again, then I followed up with my source and I said, so the Big 10 and Pac-12 canceled tomorrow. That's what I'm told this morning. Three Big 10 teams that I've spoken with said it's done. And I followed up by saying, so the SEC might go alone and bring in other schools. That's the latest. They're trying to buy time, according to my source, to see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them.
How about that? So you could see.
I don't know. Well, this SEC is going to steal some teams?
Well, you know, what I feel bad for is like,
Clemson should be in the SEC. I'm sick of them getting a free pass for 11 games.
Well, they got Notre Dame this year, maybe.
That's done. I don't think that happens.
So what I feel bad for is, like, let's say you're, I don't know, a random kid. Well, let's say you're Graham Mertz. We all know who that is, Badgers quarterback.
Yeah.
And he chooses, very good player, he can go anywhere. He chooses to come to Wisconsin. This random pandemic hits. And because his conference says, no, he can't play. But if he chose to go to Mississippi State.
But does he have to sit out a year? Does he have to do the transfer portal? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you going to let kids that are enrolled in Wisconsin go play at Missouri?
I don't think the NCAA is going to have
You can't that. Do that. No. Otherwise, it's going to be a free-for-all. And how are you going to get, like, it's going to be the highest bidder.
Right.
So then you're just telling all these kids that go to Ohio State, go to Penn State, go to Wisconsin. go to Michigan. You just can't play. But if you would have gone to one of those SEC schools, you could play. And then if I'm a recruit, I'm thinking, well, hey, there could be a pandemic. I know I'll still get mine.
I'm going to SEC school.
Right.
Which, I mean, if I have the opportunity to go to any SEC school, I'm going to the SEC, regardless.
I mean, this is nuts.
It is.
So you could see, I mean, Dan Patrick, one of the greats, texting with a source.
Yeah.
Saying that it sounds like the Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their seasons.
Yeah.
And the ACC and Big 12 are not sure if they want to yet. And the SEC is trying to get teams to join them for a season where, I mean, perhaps Ohio State's like, all right, we'll play. You could have like a 30-team SEC at the end of this for one season.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens here, man, because honestly,
you could basically have SEC South, which is the SEC, and then SEC North, which is any Big Ten and Pac-12 school that still wants to play. But they just do it under the umbrella of the SEC. But if you're going to do that for football, well, what about, you know, other fall sports? Can I go run cross country in the SEC if I'm running in Wisconsin? They're so, man, this is nuts. There's just so much to this. I have no idea how this is going to go down.
Me either. It's crazy to think that we could be watching SEC football, but not Big Ten football. Or ACC football, but not Big 12 football. It's nuts. SEC, and I've been told this too, just like Dan Patrick, they're going to do everything they can to play. Now, I'm wondering what happens, though, when the Big Ten does announce that they've canceled the season. Or if the Big 12 announces that. And then, you know, if the ACC's on the fence and they decide that they're not going to play, you're literally going to be the only league that plays. Then what if something bad does happen? You know, even if it's just one kid gets really sick or passes away, then you're the conference.
There's a kid from Clemson that
ended up playing.
Isn't going to be able to play. He's having heart issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happens here. I don't know the end game here. This is wild, though. I can't believe that we're dealing with this because, again, the NCAA, I'm looking at them. Instead, they leave it up to the conferences and the presidents and the chairman and whatnot or, you know, whatever. But the NCAA had 6 months to plan for this. You know, then that's the thing. Like, did we know that a virus would still be in this country 6 months later? We didn't know that. But why not be safe? It's better to be safe than sorry, right? So why would college football, and I get that you really can't create a bubble in college football, but why wasn't there better plans?
It sounds like the plan was,
let's just see what everybody else does.
Let's wait till August.
Right, let's see what everybody else does. You know, if baseball, like if the Cardinals don't have all these positive tests, and if, you know, the Marlins don't have all these positive tests, I bet you, and it sounds crazy, but I bet you college football, there's no worries whatsoever. You know what I mean? But I think they waited to see what would happen with the other leagues. Because golf came back, there was a couple positive tests those first two tournaments. Since then, there's been no positives. Inside these bubbles, there's been no positives. Now, in baseball, that's kind of a mess, and that's the only sport going on right now that's out of a bubble. So I think college football is looking at that. Like, well, what do we do if we have to postpone here, have to postpone there? How do we get all these kids on campus? Are we saying, hey, if you play football, you could come on campus. If you don't, you got to do virtual learning. I don't know. College football's a mess.
Tim Brando with Fox says, if there's no season, it didn't also stop the MLS or NBA or MLB with some difficulty and likely the NFL. They're going to pounce on college football Saturdays. There's no other way to put it. College football wasn't prepared. Pure and simple. Right. Shameful.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different beast because these guys are not professionals. But also it does seem like they were not prepared for this. And now that's why we're having these discussions about, well, could the SEC grab Wisconsin and play? I mean, it's just unbelievable. 414-799-1250. We'll talk about the NFL. They are all systems go. The season starts in a month from today. Packers haven't practiced yet. What does that mean for the team, for the league, and more? Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, next.
Sports Flag. Now, a Green and Gold training camp update. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
Week 2 is underway here at training camp. Over the weekend, linebacker Preston Smith said players were put through a rigorous workout in the weight room and the practice field.
We had a tough workout today, so my energy's a little down. I always want to get better at something. I always got a lot of stuff to improve on. Even the things I did good last year, I want to improve on those and be better.
I asked Matt LaFleur if he moved the first practice until this coming Saturday so the players had enough time to get into good physical condition.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, they're doing a lot of different activities, from conditioning to, you know, implementing some of the change of direction drills, some of those combine type drills.
And Davante Adams was asked, what effect will it have on Aaron Rodgers with first round pick Jordan Love in camp at quarterback?
I don't think that it'll have any type of effect on him. Aaron's a lot like me. I'm a lot like him, however you want to put it. Truly confident players who know what they're capable of. And I don't care if they brought in Julio Jones in here. That's not going to necessarily make me work harder, because I'm already a workhorse and I already know that I'm trying to be better than what I was last year.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
105.7 FM, The Fan. Bart Winkler alongside Ryan Horvath. And you guys, appreciate it. 414-799-1250. You can tweet, Facebook, Instagram, and more at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan, good to talk to you again. The NFL season is scheduled to start about a month from today. I haven't seen the Packers practice yet. They still pretty confident this is going to happen. I know all this news with college football has got some people, you know, a little apprehensive, but the NFL seems like their full systems go here, no matter what college is up to.
Yeah, I mean, it's what they say. They you know, even yesterday, Matt LaFleur said that he's confident the protocols they have in place, and it's been the company line for everyone involved with the NFL since training camp technically opened over a week ago. You're right; they haven't practiced yet. The first practice will be Saturday. And what's the one thing we know about this, about the reality of this pandemic, is that it's ever changing. So what might be the case today doesn't necessarily mean it's the case tomorrow. So what's the confidence level they're going to play? I mean, I do think they're here, they're in camp all across the league. I do think there's going to be some football on the professional level this fall. The question to me is, how much does it look like what we're seeing in professional baseball right now? And it's just it's a mess. I mean, it's ever changing all the time, very fluid, because the setup is very similar. So to me, how much does it look like that? I mean, it's hard to think that there's not going to be some kinks and some blips along the way.
Well, I wonder too, then, maybe if it, you know, because I think one of the reasons that I had a problem with baseball, and again, I'm glad everything is being played, but I think when baseball put out their schedule, they put out a schedule using the template of a normal year. The Brewers just playing two against Chicago and then going down to the White Sox stadium to play two, when maybe you could have just played four in one location. And then now the Cardinals, my goodness, I don't know when they're going to make up these games, and there's not a lot of days in the schedule for them to make them up. Some of these teams are going to be having seven-game series across 4 days with doubleheaders in the month of September. I just don't know how you do it. Football's kind of the same way. There was that report right away that maybe they start with the AFC-NFC matchups, and then they could cancel those if need be. Maybe a report of a couple more bye weeks for some replacement days. There's not a ton of that built into the schedule, so it could look like football or baseball does, and I'm with you. I think that might be a concern.
And what I don't know is what do they do? Because it's the same setup. Football implemented a regular season schedule like it was any other year, just like in a lot of ways, just like baseball. Baseball's truncated, and they're only playing within division, interleague division. But still, you're right. I mean, it's pretty similar and familiar to what they've done in the past. In football, if there's a coronavirus outbreak for a team, what do they do? Because in baseball, you're seeing all these double headers. You're seeing a lot of flexibility in the scheduling. I don't know how they have that in football. And, I mean, I was surprised, too. The Packers are a great example. They're starting week one at Minnesota, week two against Detroit. I mean, you've got NFC North to lead off. I was surprised by that, too. But the reality is that it could look good in September, and then something could happen in October. So when was there going to be a good time for key games? I don't know. A safe time for key games. The question to me, though, is what flexibility does the NFL have in scheduling if there's a coronavirus outbreak that ravages a locker room, much like we've seen in baseball? Because we've seen that flexibility in that sport, but I just don't know what they can do in football.
Yeah, it'll be something to monitor for sure. In the meantime, we try to see, well, what is this team going to look like on the field, not even just come the first game, but also the practice field. And a story that's, you know, kind of coming back to the surface is the big story of the offseason with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers giving some more interviews on it, Matt LaFleur talking about it. What is your read on what Matt LaFleur wants? Because I hear him talk and he says, Rodgers is going to be here a long time, and then comma, but it's the NFL, you know, things happen. I feel like he's trying to give answers that placate Rodgers, but also placate Jordan Love. And I think he wants Jordan Love to be the starter as soon as that's feasibly possible. But he's also, you know, he's got Aaron Rodgers here in the meantime. What's your read on where he's at right now?
I think it's a delicate balance that he's got to kind of toe. And there's no quite any team wants any first round pick to pan out. Like that's always the hope. It's, you never spend a first round pick and hope that it doesn't pan out. So yes, the Packers would love Jordan Love to pan out. I mean, that's the absolute goal. You don't spend a first round pick otherwise. But he's a quarterback, and he's a pretty raw quarterback at that. A lot of potential. He's got first round potential for sure. But there's a project element there. I mean, he's going to need to develop, and in the meantime, they just happen to have a two-time MVP. So as much as they want Jordan Love to pan out, because any team wants any first-round pick to pan out, they also are aware that Aaron Rodgers is he's the franchise right now. In the here and now, this team goes as far as Aaron Rodgers will carry it. So that's the balance. I mean, in the short term, it's you got to placate to Aaron Rodgers. You got to make him feel comfortable because he's the most important player on the field. Long term, you have to placate to Jordan Love and you have to develop him because he is the future.
Are we going to see a scenario? Ryan Wood joining us, PackersNews.com. I feel like, you know, the Packers had all these picks, and it's going to be hard for these guys in 3 weeks to impress the coaches and Brian Gutekunst enough that they deserve to be on the team. I mean, if you have guys on the offensive line and you have a decision to make, are you going to go with, you know, a guy who you at least know what you've seen from him, or in the sixth round they take these three offensive linemen? It just seems like a very, very uphill battle for any of these late round and undrafted guys to even get a chance this year.
Yeah, every single year is, for a general manager formulating the 53-man roster, it's a balance of short-term needs and value and long-term decision-making and what is the franchise, the roster needs over the long term. That's always the balance that a GM makes, right? So I think this year that's only amplified because you're right. Josiah DeGuara, a third-round pick, who I think factors into the long-term plans quite a bit, does not have a lot of time as a tight end to prove that he's ready to take the NFL by storm. He just doesn't. But they drafted him in the third round for a reason, and that reason was they feel like he's an extreme versatile fit schematically. He can play a lot of different positions. He can dictate matchups. And just because he won't be able to do that in September or October or maybe at all this season doesn't mean that long-term they don't see that still happening. So that guy gets a roster spot. I think that's the type of the train of thought that you're going to see from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, especially offensively. It's making sure you take care of the long-term needs while you formulate a roster. And I think in a lot of ways it's going to lean on experience. I mean, with the truncated camp, with the virtual offseason, experience is going to really matter for 53-man rosters this year because you're not going to get a lot of foundational basing in the offseason going into the fall. So short-term experience, long-term, those projections of who guys are supposed to be and why what you drafted them to be.
Packers have a lot of veterans that are in the final year of their deal, like Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari. Do you think if there was no pandemic, if there was more clarity about the future and the salary cap, they would have locked these guys up by now? Are they, I mean, where do you think the Packers stand with some of these guys that are maybe playing their last season in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. You know, I don't think there's any question. The pandemic makes any cap decision so much harder. It's, you know, Brian Gutekunst is going to have a difficult job come this spring because they've got David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, Corey Linsley, Aaron Jones, Kevin King. I mean, those are household names for a reason with this team. That's the bedrock of the foundation of this team. And those guys are all going into their final year. So what does Brian Gutekunst do with, a couple years ago, they finally made the splurge in free agency last year and with Smith and Adrian Amos and Billy Turner. And they did that without question. They did that knowing that the cap every year is growing exponentially. It's shooting straight north. And as long as the NFL's popularity wasn't going anywhere, and it wasn't, as long as the TV money was coming in and fans were packing the stands, and it was, that was going to continue to happen. What Brian Gutekunst and no NFL GM could have foreseen, obviously, was a worldwide pandemic that would cripple the revenue in every sport, including the NFL. So the Packers have a lot of money, not just Aaron Rodgers, at the top of their roster tied into the cap. And now the cap is going to recede, and they've got more players that are really essential to their foundation that are coming up on the market. And it's going to be really interesting. On one hand, what happens to a Kenny Clark's market? I mean, if there was no pandemic, no receding cap, he's a guy, 24 years old, top 10 at his position, interior defensive line last year, and sacks, a Pro Bowler. He's a guy that could stand to make $16, $18 million annually if there was no pandemic, no receding cap. What does his market do? Does his market recede as well? That would obviously make it more affordable and feasible for a team to go and sign him like the Packers. So what happens to player markets and what happens to the cap for teams, those are two things to watch.
Lots to watch. The first padded practice won't be until this weekend, it looks like. So we will talk to you again, before that, Ryan Wood back with us for another season, Mondays and Thursdays throughout the year. Ryan, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. There's a lot of things going on in the NBA bubble that shouldn't be. But the guy who got in trouble for it is hundreds of miles away. We'll have the details on that coming up next. And the latest on college football right after 9 o'clock.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but they got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
Draymond Green filling the role of Shaq on Inside the NBA on TNT over the weekend. So Draymond Green, obviously with the Warriors, they're not in the bubble. So the guys at TNT, you know, he had a little beef with Charles Barkley. They said, why don't you come on and be on the show? So he's on the show. He got fined $50,000 for that.
That's BS.
We know there's a ton of tampering most likely going on in the bubble.
Yeah.
Can't prove anything. We saw Draymond say this. So he gets fined. I agree it's BS because Draymond in this circumstance is acting like a member of the media. And if he can't, I disagree with him. I think that trying to take these guys out of these smaller markets and put them on one of the, like that, I don't like that. I don't, as I heard that, I thought, what are you doing? I mean, let the guy play in Phoenix. Let them build something there. Don't rip him out of Phoenix right away just because he's good. So I don't agree with him, but to... The guy's on TV, you know, he's like auditioning for a future career. I don't know.
Yeah, I already find Draymond to be extremely phony because he pretends to be the toughest guy ever. And we heard him in the last week compliment Kevin Durant despite their quote-unquote beef. And then him and that whole Charles Barkley thing, you know, they ran their mouth behind each other's backs. Then you put them in front of each other and they're best friends. They're both pretty phony in my opinion. But Draymond more than Barkley, because at least Barkley, if you do get in his face, he will throw you through a window. Draymond's the fakest tough guy in NBA history. Runs his mouth, kicks guys in the nuts. Anytime anybody steps in his face, he runs away like a little girl. So I'm not a big Draymond guy, but that's BS right there, because you're asking him to go on this show, give his opinion, gives a take, and then you fine him for it? That's trash. If he was, you know, if this is post-game and they just get
that's
done...
That's a trash opinion.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Like, if they just got done playing the Suns and he was like, yo, hey, we just beat the Suns, but Booker went off for 50. He's the real deal. We would love to have him in Golden State. He's got to get out of Phoenix. Then you find him, because that's after a game. Their season's been over. Their season was over before it started.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Warriors, you know? And I agree, like, if I'm Booker, I'm staying in Phoenix with DeAndre Ayton. They're building something there. I even like Ricky Rubio.
That team is going to be good.
Yeah, they're better than the Warriors. I'll take them over the Warriors next year. What's Klay going to look like? Is Steph, you know, going to go back to being Steph? Who are they going to pair these guys with? Draymond proved, man, without Klay and Steph and KD, he's nothing. He's trash. He's the most overpaid player in this league. And that includes, what's the dude's name? Timothy Mozgov.
Hey, that's my boy, dude.
Dude, Draymond did nothing this year.
He was really bad.
He's not good when he's not surrounded by a bunch of talent.
He was really
bad. System player.
It's not his first time on TV either. There was a Saturday night game.
And that stupid outfit. Was he wearing a turtleneck?
There was a Saturday night game where, like, he was totally healthy and he was a scratch because the NBA on ABC wanted him to be on their pregame booth. And
yeah.
Kerr's just like, I don't care.
Right, exactly.
What are we playing for?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I disagree. I don't agree with this take, but you fine him for that. A little excessive. College football, very up in the air. The latest, we could see some conferences play, but not all of them. And if you're in one of those conferences that's not playing, you could join one of the conferences that is. Details next.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.